said, let us put our hands together and give God some praise. Thank God for what he's done for you. I thank God for that wonderful choir. Everything they sung seemed like it's going to be a point that God has given me. So that's confirmation for me. I would like to thank Reverend Johnson for allowing me to stand before his congregation. I would like to thank First Lady Johnson. I would like to thank the officers of Union Grove Baptist Church. I would like to thank all the members, all the saints and friends that are online with us. I'd like to thank Sister Poole for the correspondence and letters. I want to thank her for that. Sister Kathy Pettiford for the IT work that she has done. And I thank you again for allowing me to one more time be able to stand and do what I love to do in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I won't prolong you very much. Let's get on with this. Actually, I'm coming out of 1 John chapter 5. Amen. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 5. And then I'm going to read one verse out of Revelation chapter 12. That will be verse 11. Amen. So that's 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Tonight I'm reading from the King James Version. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 reads thusly. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And it reads thusly, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Father, we pray now that you will give us ears to hear what you're about to say. Pray, God, that you will continue to revive and restore your kingdom. I ask you to bless Father Union Grove Baptist Church's members and certainly the shepherd of the house. I ask you, Father, just for a little while that you would give your preacher just enough strength and clarity and to be able to clearly speak what you have given me. We pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart has been acceptable in your sight. For truly, O Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I do pray. Let the faithful of God say amen. Amen. Verse 5, 4 and 5. 5 is really the theme verse, but historical 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Then he asked the question, who is he that overcometh the world? He answers the question, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to speak to you from a short while today. Overcoming through Jesus Christ. Overcoming through Jesus Christ. I was studying a young man not too long ago by the name of Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is a running back currently for the Las Vegas Raiders football team. Josh Jacobs probably makes $11,930-some on his salary, and he received a bonus of $6,698,000. So he's making $12 million plus $6 million. And Josh Jacobs had a tweet. And in his tweet, he said, the Lord is not slow in doing what he promised. the way some people understand slowness. But God is patient with you. And he does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and their lives. Brother Jacobs took this tweet from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Now most people would say, okay, preacher, what does this mean that this football player would say or quote something on Twitter? Well, let me give you some background to let you know who Brother Josh Jacobs was and what he went through. Brother Josh Jacobs in middle school lived out of the car with his father and his brother, homeless, taking baths in gas stations and going to school, still trying to persevere. While Josh Jacobs was in school, he still was a top-notch student. Josh Jacobs was in high school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at McLean High School. He ran for 5,300 and some yards and scored over 56 touchdowns going through the adversity that he was going through. Josh Jacobs went on after no one wanted to recruit him. It said that his coach began to send out things about him and try to reach out to other coaches, but being from a small town market, no one seemed to notice Brother Josh, the school, the town, nor the coach. But Josh Jacobs in 2016 started this Twitter account that I just read from you that he quoted in 2018. Josh Jacobs, once he put that out there, the schools from other schools began to come and notice Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs was at a basketball game, and Nick Saban, who was the coach of Alabama Crimson Tide, went to see him play. When he got there, he realized that Josh Jacobs was a great athlete. Not only a great athlete, but there was something special about the character of Josh Jacobs. Then he began to talk about him, and other coaches around the country began to want to draft Josh Jacobs. In the first round, 2018, the Los Angeles Raiders, drafted Josh Jacobs as the number one draft pick. That's after Josh Jacobs became the most valuable player in 2018. At Alabama, when they overcame Georgia, Josh Jacobs had the flu. They later found out that Josh Jacobs had an injury to his leg where he had broken his ankle, and yet he ran for almost 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. I said all that to say this, that young man at a young age was instilled about Jesus Christ. He was determined to do the work of the Lord, amen, and to have his character right, and God opened a door for young Josh Jacobs. Now, I could tell you that I came to talk about Josh Jacobs, but I didn't. I just used him as the starting point to let you know that sometimes you got to persevere. You got to stand strong in God despite what it looks like. If God has put a dream in you, if God has strengthened you, if God has showed you and carried you through adversity, there's nothing in this world that you cannot do. So as we look at the text from chapter 5 and the epistle of 1 John, we find out that John begins to write that through faith in the Lord, or the Lord has overcome and given us victory through Jesus Christ. The Father has given us victory through Jesus Christ. And that those who believe on Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And that really sounds good, but then you look at John's background. Because most people will try to say that, okay, where did John come from? And who gives John the validity other than the Holy Ghost to be able to write such a book as this? Well, first John goes along with the theme of the Gospel of John. And then the epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation has the same literary connotation, which gives us a pretty good idea that John the Revelator and John the writer of the Gospel was John the writer of 1st John. John was, we know, the inner circle of Jesus Christ. We know in Mark chapter 1, after John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan, we find that Jesus began to walk on his journey. And on his journey, he sees Simon and Andrew. And as he walks a little further, he begins to see not only Simon and Andrew, but he begins to see Brother John and his brother Andrew. When he begins to see Brother John, he tells them to drop their nets. James and John. He tells them, the sons of Zebedee, to drop their nets. The Bible says that they dropped their nets and they began to follow Jesus. Amen. And then you find out that this John is different than any other writer, because we know Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the Synoptic Gospels began to talk about the birth of Jesus. They began to talk about the life of Jesus. As Mark talked about Jesus as a grown man, he began to do ministry, amen. And Matthew talked about him coming from the side of the Jews, amen, when Herod was after Jesus and his mother and his father had to take him into exile into Egypt. But long story short, Brother John is the one who was not only the inner circle of Jesus. The Bible says that John was the one that Jesus loved. John was the one that put some stuff in the book, amen, that most gospel writers did not place in the book. John places in the book where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples in John chapter 13. John places in the book where Jesus turned water into wine in the wedding of Cana of Galilee. He talks about Nicodemus, who met Jesus at night when Jesus told Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." This is the John that I'm talking about. Amen. So it's not too far-fetched that John would come back in the beginning of 1 John chapter 5, and he says, "Whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ," amen, he says that, not only that, "everyone that loveth him is begotten of him." And then he says, "By this we know that we love God." My first point is that for revival, amen, to be strengthened, to become an overcomer, you have to be a believer in Christ. Now, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything that your pastor has not told you, but I'm telling you what the Lord is telling me to tell you, to remind you, to let you know that whatever you're going through, you still belong to God. Yes, I know everybody's talking about COVID. I know everybody's talking about sickness. I know that everybody is talking about disease, but I'm talking about Jesus, amen, the one that can do anything, amen. So John tells us in this gospel that you must be born again. Not only that, I'm going to give you a few, and then I want to work a little bit, amen. John tells us in the first verse, amen, that you must be born again. Write it down and keep it in your spirit. The second, that means that you have to go to the cross of Christ if you want to overcome. Amen. You have to go back to the cross of Christ and remember where you came from, where you first received your sight, where God first gave you strength, where God first gave you faith in your heart. Amen. Even if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, God has given you strength of salvation. In the second verse, God talks about not only do we love God, but you will love the children of God. So that's telling me that not only do you need the cross of God, but you need the compassion of God. And in the compassion of God, you will love God's children. See, if I'm saved and you're saved, and we have the same daddy, the same God, and even though we may be in different churches from different places, if we got the same God that folk claim that they have, amen, then we will be on one accord and we will have unity. There is no tension in the text, but I got to talk to you about it, that there are most folks who say that they know Jesus. They are saved, that they believe in Jesus, amen, in churches, in the government, and then you begin to see their actions. But my Bible tells me that you will know them by their fruits, amen. So now, not only do you need the cross, amen, but you need compassion. Then after you have compassion, you got to come together with the love of Jesus. The Bible says you have to keep the commandments of God. That's how people know that we belong to God, when we began to keep God's commandments. And see, we can't overcome trying to do things in our own power. But whenever you walk with God, God will show you some things. God will give you some visions. God will give you some dreams to help you along the way. So about verse 3 said, "For if the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments is not grievous." Matthew 11, 28 tells me that the burdens of the Lord, his yoke is easy, and his burdens are light. Amen. You can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. See, I just want to talk to you. I don't know if you're like me. We have been isolated from one another. We really don't have that human touch. And a lot of us are kind of afraid to go out and do some things. And we can't go back to doing the things that the way we used to do it. But I will tell you that if we follow God, God is beginning to show us how to do a new thing. Because I can't reach everybody from Archer's Grove, amen. Only what my people go out and do. And from Union Grove, when the pastor preach, only what you do in the marketplace and what you tell people on the job and how you witness to people, that's the only thing people will know about Jesus. But now we got Facebook, we got phone line, and I know it's kind of difficult, but now we are able to reach out to the uttermost parts of the world to do what the Lord has called us to do. So the Bible says in verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And that victory that we overcome the world is even our faith. Amen. That faith in God is belief and trust. Without faith, no man will see God. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So in John's gospel, John begins to talk about the reality of how Jesus is the Christ. But like I said, I didn't come to talk about Josh Jacobs, that beautiful Christian for the Los Angeles, the Las Vegas Raiders. I didn't come to talk about John the Baptist tonight. I didn't come to talk about Abraham, who was certainly was one who trusted God and certainly one who overcame some things. I didn't come to talk about Isaac, who really overcame some things where they were stopping up the wells and the inheritances that he had from his father. Isaac still overcame. But I didn't come to talk about him. I didn't come to talk about Jacob. Jacob was the one who was a trickster, amen, who stole his brother's birthright and went and fell in love with a woman and was supposed to work for her for 7 years and got the wrong woman and had to work 7 years for the wrong woman and go back and work seven more years for the woman that he wanted. And when he finally got her and she gave him two children, she died and gave up the ghost, amen. I could talk about Moses tonight. Y'all do know Moses, don't you? He was the deliverer. He was the one who went to Pharaoh and told him to let God's people go. He was the one who went through many storms when he was preaching and teaching, and folk didn't want to hear Moses. But Moses still was able to overcome through some things. He overcame the Red Sea. He overcame the bitter waters. He overcame thirst from a rock. Moses overcame some things, but it was only through God that Moses was able to do these things. I could have came tonight to talk about King David. Y'all do know David, don't you? Who overcame some things. Brother David, who was a strong man. Brother David, who was a shepherd boy. Brother David, who was anointed by Samuel, amen, who was able to become king, but you do know he was hated by his brother. I could talk about that David. That David who committed adultery with Bathsheba, and yet God still allowed him to overcome. I'm talking about that David who said, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I could talk about that David. I could talk about Joseph, whose brothers hated him for the coat of many colors that his daddy gave him. Now, y'all know I can talk about Joseph all day long because he certainly was an overcomer. And when Joseph overcame, the thing I love about him is that he didn't try to get back at his brother. He said, what you meant for evil, God turned it around for my good. Amen. And I just want to tell somebody that you might have somebody who's trying to come after you, but God really has your back. I could talk about all of them. In the world, I could bring up some people. I could talk about Albert Einstein. They say that Albert Einstein, the first 3 years of his life, that Albert Einstein did not speak. Matter of fact, the teachers of Albert Einstein said that Einstein was lazy and he was disconnected. And yet this man went on to be one of the greatest scientists and minds that there ever was. Another one was, you already know, Walt Disney and Disney World. Everybody going to Disney, and Walt Disney made a whole lot of money. But the job that he had the first time, the editor said he lacked creativity, amen. And he fired this man from his job. I could talk about Stevie Wonder, who overcame blindness and became one of the greatest musicians there ever was. I could talk about Ray Charles, another great musician who was blind and was not only a great musician, he overcame a drug addiction. I could talk about him, amen. I could talk about Sister Helen Keller, who was also blind, but she helped invent Braille, amen, to help so many blind people along the way. I could talk about her, but today I wanted to come and talk about Jesus, amen. Y'all know why? Because in the text that we read from 1 John, it says that we have already overcome, or we overcometh, according to the King James. And I said to you, overcoming. I wanted to use that suffix ing to show you that we are constantly overcoming. Now, John is talking about, in the text of 1 John, he's talking about Christ on the cross. Colossians 2 and 15, where Jesus defeated the principalities and powers from the grave, amen, from the cross, amen. Not only did he defeat them from the cross, amen, he said in John 16, 33, he said, peace I leave you. And I often wonder how the church reacts, amen, when we get bent out of shape, when things start going on, and when we're listening to news, we forget that Jesus has said he's already given us peace. And I just want to know, when are we going to walk in that peace, amen? Because Jesus said, don't you worry about the world. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. Stop talking about things in the world. You stand up and use the gifts and the talents to overcome some things, amen? But as far as the world, the Lord said, I have already overcome it. So we need to start walking in the victory of the Lord. But in reality, 1 John, even though we're saved, that's the reality of it. But the actual reality of this is that we are all in a struggle. Amen, somebody. We are all struggling to overcome something. Tonight, somebody listening to me, they're trying to overcome a situation. Somebody is trying to overcome some people, amen. Conflict is trying to conquer you, amen. But you have to overcome. See, that's why I'm trying to tell you that even though Jesus finished the work on the cross, the work of the Christian is not finished. Revelation chapter 7, Brother John is still talking. Now he's an old man, John the Revelator, on the Isle of Patmos. And he begins to talk about us in the church. And I'm going to tell you these, and I'm not going to hold you long, but I'm going to hold you long enough if you'll listen to me. Revelations 2 and 3, John begins to talk to the churches. Amen. First of all, he talked to a church who did not have love. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And then he says, if you overcome this, and if you stay with me, and if you turn back to your first love, I will allow you to eat from the tree of life. See, that's the promise that God has given us if we overcome. And we are in a time where love has grown cold, not only in the world, but love has grown cold in the church. But we still can overcome in Christ Jesus. The second thing John the Revelator said after the church in Ephesus, he took this circular letter and he talked about the persecution that was in Smyrna, in the church of Smyrna. The devil was actually in the house of God. Now, I don't know about you, but the devil is still in the house, amen. He's still running roughshod as long as Christians will not stand up for righteousness, amen. Because somebody said that that's how evil prevails, when good men sit back and do nothing about it. So it's time to stand up and be not only conquerors in God, but more than conquerors in the Lord. Amen, somebody. So now it says in Smyrna that if you overcome the devil, I will allow you to escape the second death. Preacher, what are you talking about? Because if you do not give your life to the Lord, you're going to face a second death. Amen. But if you are in Christ, and I know I'm talking to the blood-washed saints tonight, so we're not worried about it. We thank God that he has given us escape, amen, from the second death. So then you had the loveless church. You had the persecuted church. Amen. And now we want the Pergamos, which is the compromising church. Lord, have mercy. Help us on this one. In this church, the spirit of Balaam was in this church. That's what we have now. We're seeing the spirit of Balaam take over in the church and take over in the world. The spirit of Balaam in this church was causing people to sacrifice their children. Y'all know where I'm going with this, don't you? That we don't want to teach children no more. We don't want to bring them to church no more. We don't want to have Sunday school with them no more. We don't want to sit down and talk to them. We're allowing everybody to train and to teach them. But it's time for us to stand up and be the people of God and be overcomers in Christ Jesus and to teach our children. Because my Bible tells me that if we train up a child in the way they should go when they're old, they will not depart from it. So now you have the compromising church in Revelation 2 and 17. And in this compromising church, amen, Jesus said, if you hold on, he said, I'm going to give you a hidden manna that nobody don't know nothing about. And in this hidden manna, I'm going to give you a rock. And the Bible says it's a white rock. So I assume it's a pure rock.
and it's gonna have a name on that rock. Nobody else is gonna be able to read that name on the rock. So thank the Lord for the rock. The next church is Thyatira. Lord, we know we got that today. That is the corrupt church. The corrupt church where false teachers are in the church. Amen. But God said that if you overcome corruptness, and you know we have corruption today, but if we overcome this corruption, that he will give us power to overcome the nations. See, don't tell me what the church can't do. If they stand together in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. The fifth church is the dead church. That is the church of Sardis. Amen. There were people who pretended that they were alive, and they may have been alive and vibrant and singing and preaching, but they was dead on the inside. Amen. But if you overcome deadness in your church, the Lord said there's a few things in this church that's still working. Amen. So I want to tell you right now, Union Grove, keep on doing what God have you to do. If you got to zoom it, zoom it. If you got to call, call it. If you got to go by and stand on the doorstep and talk to somebody, go by on the doorstep and talk to them and encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ to let them know that everything gonna be all right. And if you overcome the deadness of the church, Lord promise you a white garment. Amen. He also promised you that your name would not be blotted out the book of life. That's good news for somebody right there. Amen. That's good news that your name could not be blotted out the book of life. Then number six is the faithful church. Amen. That's Philadelphia. He says you got to keep your faith. You got to keep your faith. And even though it was a faithful church, if you can read, go back and read this text, it'll tell you that there were some in the church who still was opposing God. In other words, there were devils in that church also, in the faithful church of Philadelphia. But the Lord said, keep the word and keep the faith. And if you overcome, I will make you a pillar, amen, in the church. And we sure need pillars in the church. I'm getting ready to wrap it up when I talk about the church of Laodicea. If you go back and look at that word, Laodicea, it means the age of the people. Nobody is listening to God, but everybody wants to listen to each other, amen, or lack thereof. Now I want to tell you that I'm going to talk about him, Jesus, and I'm going on to the house. Jesus is the best example I know of how to overcome. Jesus overcame temptation, amen. Well, after John the Baptist baptized Jesus, Jesus was taken to the wilderness of the Judean desert, and he stayed there for 40 days and 40 nights. And after the 40 days and the 40 nights, the Bible says that the devil came to tempt him. And I want to tell somebody tonight that the devil will tempt you, because he'll tempt you to try to break you down. But God won't tempt you. God will test you. And in that test and in that trial, God will give you strength that you don't even know that you have. Amen, somebody. So the devil comes to him. And look how slick that he is. He comes to him after he knows he's hungry. He said to him, he tried to appeal to his flesh. He said, turn these stones into bread. Y'all know the word of God, so I don't have to tell you. Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 highlights this, what I'm talking about, how the devil came for the flesh of God. Jesus said that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I'll give you a true story on that. It says that there was a soldier, a prisoner of war in Germany. And this prisoner of war was a Christian. Used to read his Bible every day. Said that God was so mean to him that they started throwing water on him. Wouldn't bring him no food. He was hiding his Bible. Y'all know what happened? They took his Bible. God tore it up and threw it like confetti into his cell. It said when he got it, he was trying to piece it together just to read the word of God. And he couldn't. Y'all know what he came up with? On a little bit of piece of paper. It said, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. And they left that man in there 30-some days. They thought he was dead when they went to get him. Yes, he was weak. Yes, he was skinny. Yes, he was delusional. But he kept on saying that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. I'm trying to tell you that if you hold on to God's word, if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, whatever you're going through, God will hold on to you. So not only did the devil come out this flesh and said, turn these stones to bread, the devil is doing what he's doing now. Notice how so many people are trying to overcome mental illness. Notice how so many people are going through changes and feel destitute. Emir Durkheim said that when the world became industrialized, said the suicide rate went up because people didn't have that human touch. Amen. And so I'm trying to tell you, you got to watch the devil. He takes Jesus to a high pinnacle. He tells Jesus, because he knew scripture. So he came back and twisted the scripture. He said, Psalm 91 said, if you jump off this temple, that the Father will catch you, amen. But he didn't know that Jesus understood not only just a little bit of the word. Jesus understood the whole counsel of God. Jesus understood that if you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, amen, and lean not to your own understanding, that God will guard your heart and God will guard your mind. So the devil came back again. He said, I tell you what, I give you all the kingdoms of the world. So I'm trying to tell you that you got to overcome your flesh. You got to overcome your own mind. And let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But then you got to overcome your will. Because the devil said, I give you all the kingdom. Y'all know what he done doing to us now? He's trying to give us material possessions. He'll give us whatever it takes for us not to serve God the way we should. He'll give you a little bit more money on the job, and you'll start forsaking your reading. You'll start forsaking your family. You'll start stepping out a little bit and not going to serve the Lord like you're supposed to. But Jesus overcame the devil. Now, Hebrews 4 and 15 said Jesus Christ was touched. He was the high priest, and he was not touched with all the infirmities, but at all points, but as we are, yet without sin. One interpretation, the Amplified Bible used that word, touched with infirmities, and it says to sympathize. The Jewish Bible says to empathize. Y'all know what it is to sympathize with somebody. It means that you had their experience. To empathize means that you just have compassion to put yourself in that person's shoes. Amen. And you begin to walk with them. But now Jesus overcame the enemy by doing those things. Look, the next thing he did, he overcame temptation. So that's what I'm going to tell you, Union Chapel. Union Grove. That's what I'm going to tell you, Archer's Grove. That's what I'm going to tell you, everybody that's out there with us on this Zoom, that you got to watch yourself. And don't be overcome by temptation. The song says, yield not temptation, for yielding is sin. Amen. So it is, the temptation is going to come, but you got to overcome it by strength in Jesus Christ. Second point is, Jesus was rejected. So many times now I hear people always talking about, I just can't get no family members. Nobody will help me. And the church is not what it used to be. That is a lie from the gates of hell. Jesus was rejected by his family. Jesus was rejected by his hometown. Luke chapter 4, when Jesus came back and began to stand up and tell them that he was anointed to preach the gospel, and he began to heal and do some different things, they ran him out of town. He was rejected by his family. He was rejected by the world. John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, said he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, them he's going to give the power to become the sons or the children of God. So in other words, you got to watch for temptation, and you got to watch for rejection. And Jesus faced all these things. But then somebody said, if Jesus was tempted at all points, yet without sin, answer me the question, preacher. How in the world do he deal with sick people if he's never been sick? That's a good question, and I'm glad you asked. Let me give you your answer. I read it to you, but y'all really didn't hear it. Revelation 3 and 16. Jesus was talking. Because if you go back and read it, all the letters are reading. So John fell out of the dead man, and when he woke up, he started dictating what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, lukewarm. You either got to be hot or you got to be cold. And that's what this revival is about. Either you cold tonight, you don't want to hear God's word, are you hot tonight? Are you hot tonight and you want to hear it? Or are you lukewarm? You don't care whether you hear it or whether you don't hear it. You need a revival, baby. You need a revival. Amen. So the lukewarm church made the Lord sick because the Lord said, I will spew you out. So it made the Lord sick. But we still overcomers, y'all. I'm getting ready to go. I ain't going to leave you on the table open like that. I got to sew you back up. Amen. Revelation chapter 12. If you will, walk with me now. Revelation chapter 12, it says that it talks about the accuser of the brethren. It's talking about the devil. It's talking about Beelzebub. Amen. It's talking about old Satan. Amen. It's talking about the accuser of the brethren. That's what it's talking about. But in this text, it says that you don't have to worry about it because the Lord has already overcame him. How did he overcome him? He overcame him through us, through the church. Let me tell you how you're going to win this thing. Go to Revelation 12. I'm not going, but you go there and circle it in your Bible. Every time the enemy tries to make you think that you can't win, every time he tries to make you think that he has conquered you, I want you to go back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and start reading that text. It said that he heard the voice of the Lord come from heaven. He said that salvation has come, y'all, that strength has come, y'all, and that the kingdom of God has come. And that the power of his Christ in verse 11, why? Because the accuser of the brethren is cast down from earth. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I saw a Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Amen. In the book of Luke, he came down here on the earth. Amen. And so now he's down here. But he has no power over the church. Look how we got power. Verse 11 said, they who? They the church. They God's people. They the kingdom of God. Overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to finish the way I started. I told you that you needed the cross. That's what it meant right there, that the blood of the Lamb, where Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross, that's where we got the victory in the spirit. But then we got the victory on the earth right here. It said that we overcame him not only by the blood, but we overcame him by the word of our testimony. And that's what's wrong with us today. We're too quiet today. Some people come to church and they're too quiet to give God a thank you. They're too quiet to give God a hallelujah. They're too quiet to thank God for all that God has done. And then when we get out in the world, they talk about their God. They talk about everything and everybody. They talk about CNN. They talk about sports. They talk about each other. And we still refuse to lift up the name of him, Jesus. But we can overcome by the word of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Then the Bible says that we love our lives not unto them. As I get ready to leave you tonight, I want to tell you that you got to do like Paul said. It's no longer I that live, that Christ that lives in me. Y'all hear me now? That Jesus Christ overcame death. Jesus Christ overcame hell. Jesus Christ overcame the grave. The Bible says that he took the sting out of death, and the grave has no more victory in him. Amen. And I want to tell you tonight that we can overcome through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. Let me give you that one. Because the devil is going to come and try to trick you into some stuff that you think you can't get out of. But the Bible says that God always gives us a way of escape. All you got to do is stand still and watch what God does. As I get ready to leave you tonight, I'm pretty sure that Brother Josh Jacobs, amen, is very thankful for the Lord. I'm pretty sure that the other patriarchs that I named to you are very thankful for the Lord. I'm pretty sure that each one of you are thankful for the Lord, because I'm certainly thankful for the Lord. But I want to tell you tonight that if you want to see an overcomer, you know what you got to do? You got to go look in the mirror. Look where God has brought you from. Amen. Y'all know where I'm going with it. I got to say it or I can't sit down. I thank God for everything he done for me. I thank God that he did wake me up this morning, because he didn't have to do it, but he did. Amen. I thank God for keeping my family. I thank God for keeping the church. I thank God for keeping other preachers. Amen. Knowing how hard it is. I thank him for keeping deacons and officers and wives and children. I thank God for keeping all of us. But there ain't nobody like Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you why. Ain't nobody like him. Amen. Because in him I can overcome all things. In him you can do all things. It may not seem like it, but God has the final say about everything. Because there ain't nobody like my God. Y'all do know him, don't you? The same God who was born in a virgin. I got to say it before I said I am, to remind you that that revival comes when you go back and look where God came from in the flesh through Jesus Christ. That he raised him up through Mary's womb. Amen. After he raised him up through Mary's womb, he took Jesus, and Jesus was so intelligent that he stood and talked to the doctors and the lawyers. Amen. They're 12 years old. That's the Jesus I'm talking about. But as we go further, you can't conquer with that Jesus. Amen. That was this young Jesus. And then when he went to the cross, of course he healed folk in his ministry. Of course he opened blinded eyes. Of course he did stretch out arms. But they tell me that they killed him. They tell me that they hung him on the cross. They tell me that they put him in a borrowed tomb. And they tell me that he laid there all day one day. And then on Saturday he laid there all day. And the Bible says that he got up early. Amen. I just want to know which one of the angels came to give him the wake up call to get up early. I'm just glad that he got up out the grave. And when he got up out the grave, Union Baptist, I want to tell you right now that when he got up, we can get up with him. Amen. So remember what I told you. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ. This is my story for you. Tell me that. There was a young boy who was Indian. He wanted to be a brave. So what they did was they took him, his father did, as was their ritual, the Cherokee. They blindfolded him. And he took him in the forest, in the woods. He left him out there all night long. Now, in order for him to become a brave, he had to stay out there all night long. He said he stayed out there, but he was so afraid. Amen. And not only was he afraid, he said he saw the sun begin to come up through his blindfold. And he said that he opened the blindfold to peek through the blindfold. And he saw somebody in the shadow. He thought it was an animal getting ready to kill him. And as you look closer, y'all know who he was? That was his father, who had been there all the time. And that's why I'm trying to tell you that God got your back. Amen. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Union, God bless you. Have a smile upon you. And just remember, you're more than overcomers through Christ Jesus. Just walk with God and go back and examine the cross every now and again and plead the blood of Jesus over your life and give your life to God. Amen. And walk a consecrated life and you will be an overcomer. God bless. Have a smile upon you until we meet again.